Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Ilona Europa, Accent on LA Talk Radio, Accent on London edition. But like always, I am in London. My guests are all around the world. Today, we have very, very special guest who is originally from Poland, lives in Amsterdam, spent time in Los Angeles. I'm sure we met once or twice in our life on very non-Polish film festival LA in Los Angeles. And I'm sure we have lots of wonderful friends that we know each other. But I think for the first time, we really have a time to talk to each other. So thank you, Zoom. Thank you that we can have this interview. And I want to introduce Janusz Madej to everybody. Hi, Janusz.
Hi, listeners. Hi, everybody. It's a pleasure to have a conversation with you. And thanks for reaching out.
So, Janusz Madej is an actor. He's also director, producer at Blue Glass, founder company at Janusz Madej Technique, and CEO at Pineal. Did I say it okay?
Pineal Films Production.
Yes.
Pineal.
Films Pineal. That's a great accent. Film production, and you are known for few really well-received films. We'll be talking about your awards. Seems like everything is happening right now very, very well for you, so we are very excited. But let's mention maybe a few of them. You are known for Shift from 2018.
Yes.
This movie was premiered at Cannes Film Festival. You are known for the movie Resolve, 2017. 11th.
Yes.
11th, that's, oh, wow. You kept me for more than 1 hour watching this one. So I would be talking about this movie a lot, and hopefully people will have a chance to see this movie because you gave us a link that people for 1 month can watch the movie for free. It's called 11. We'll be talking about this. And another project, Stigma, from 2011. But like always, I need to make the beautiful introduction, but you need to tell us everything about yourself. You are originally born in Warsaw. So please tell us a little bit about your move, youth, and your move from Warsaw to the world. So yeah, take it from here.
Indeed, I was born in Warsaw, Poland, and my mother noticed that I have a very abnormal flexibility in my joints, she saw it on the fingers, and she went to the doctor. The doctor says, well, you should put him either in a ballet school or in a circus. So my mother thought, okay, he will kill himself somewhere on the trapeze. Let me put him in the ballet school, which she did. I originally didn't want to be a dancer because what little child at the time, when you're 10 years old, the parents are the ones that are kind of choosing stuff for you. But very quickly, because I was good at what I was doing, as a child, if someone comes and gives you attention and say you're good, you start enjoying the profession. And so I study at the Warsaw School of Ballet. And eventually, I still, as a young man, I went to England. I actually went to London to, I auditioned for Central School of Ballet, which was a ballet school on a herbal hill there. And the director of the school was a director of a ballet company called Northern Ballet Theatre. And so basically it was a perfect transition. I went from the school into sort of like a trainee dancer, and then I became a contracted dancer for Northern Ballet Theatre. It's a touring company. There are like five big ballet companies in UK: Royal Ballet, English National Ballet, Birmingham Royal Ballet, Scottish Ballet. Northern Ballet is considered one of those five. It's a touring company based in Leeds. I danced with them for 2 years, and then roughly 1998, I came to visit Amsterdam. We always hear those wonderful stories about the city, how beautiful it is, and so on. So I was very curious about it, and a bunch of my friends who were originally from the company came to audition here. I didn't. I was like, okay, let's see how things will go. I was very kind of, I wasn't putting pressure on it. And indeed, from the five people that came here, a couple of months later, I got a contract. And so I moved to Amsterdam and began the contract in August 1998. I danced with Nationale Ballet for 10 years through their whole repertoire, from classical ballets through modern, Swan Lakes, you know, Giselles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I always felt, and this was always my thing, is that my passion, my life calling was always film. Film for me was a form of escapism back in the day in communism Poland, which was sort of, you know, kind of gray and maybe depressed sometime. At the time, the VCR came out, and so you would, you know, just get and gobble up as many movies, American Hollywood movies. So the movies were always my form of escapism. Ballet, I was good at it. I was passionate about it, but I never saw myself being a ballet director or a choreographer or, I mean, I tried choreography, but it was not what was really fulfilling for me. Although you will never get the same amount of rush when you're on the stage, the amount of adrenaline. I never gotten anywhere else in any other art form apart from dance. But in 2008, I decided to quit. I decided to retire because I felt it was not, where will I go further? You know, the profession of a dancer is so short, relatively short. When you're 35, 40 years old, you kind of going into retirement, basically. So I didn't want to wait that long. I thought, okay, I always had a dream. A guy from, you know, some neighborhood in Warsaw have a dream about going to Hollywood. Well, I actually did not believe that this dream is possible. So I actually set my sights on European form of Hollywood, which is London, you know, the Pinewood and company and so on. So for English speaking actors, and the change in my life and the impact in my life came when a very famous acting coach from Hollywood came to Holland. Her name is Ivana Chabak. For those listeners who hear this name for the first time, Ivana Chabak is a acting guru in Los Angeles. She has her own studio on Melrose. It's called Ivana Chubuk Studio. Back in the 50s, 60s, you had Actors Studio in New York. And, you know, in Los Angeles, she's known for basically breeding Hollywood stars. It's a lady behind Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, Charlize Theron, Halle Berry. When Halle Berry got an Oscar for Monsters Ball, she thanked Ivana in her Oscar speech. So Ivana worked with anybody that is anybody in Hollywood. Sylvester Stallone got an Oscar nomination for Creed. The Jared Leto got an Oscar for Dallas Buyers Club. So she constantly works with the highest of and the best people in the business.
What nationality is she from? Where she was born?
She's American, but she has some Jewish Romanian Jewish. Her name is Ivana, so it's kind of Eastern European. But I know that she had to, during the war, etc., escape from Europe through Amsterdam, apparently also. So actually, she came to in 2007 to Amsterdam to promote her book, The Power of the Actor. This is the book I would like to recommend to all the actors if they are looking for a technique and an actual blueprint of what to do from the moment you get a script and you need to break the script down up to the moment when you enter a stage or a film set. Wow. So it's a fantastic, fantastic book, but it changed my life. I read it. I was like, wow, this is incredible. And at the time, my ex-girlfriend said, listen, this lady is coming from Hollywood. You know, you should write to her and ask if you could be part of a workshop. Because she always goes around the world and does like a two-day workshop where she kind of introduces the technique and gets people to come to Hollywood to study with her there. So that was it. I actually was just a beginning actor, I was still a dancer, but when I was a dancer, still did projects, did theater group here, a short film there. I was building up, but I had not many credits on IMDb. And my ex said to me, well, write a letter to her. Empathize with her being a bit Eastern European, just say, you know, like maybe there will be some friend-like feeling. And indeed, she picked me from 16 actors from this part of Europe. I got a very nice scene and we connected in a very, very special way. Her confidence in me, in my talent, brought confidence in me, because sometimes we don't know who we truly are until we don't see each other through a reflection of someone else. And I knew that this lady had been surrounded by greatness in terms of acting. And, you know, after the workshop, she asked me, so what are you going to do? I said, well, I want to retire. I was thinking to go to London maybe and study acting there. And she says, no, go come to Hollywood. I have my studio there. If you want to go to the next level and interested in film acting, come to Los Angeles. And that was this kind of moment where I thought, okay, you know, this is something special, because this great lady sees something in this Polish guy, you know. And that was it. I in 2008, I already knew I'm retiring. And in the time for that year, I was keeping contact with her through email. And I always, you see, I was always inclined towards acting, through my dancing to acting. But as I was doing short films and little projects, et cetera, I realized that, hey, I'm really interested in filmmaking part. You know, that's where you becoming a power player, you learning the craft, you learning the technical aspect of the craft. And actually, this will make me better an actor and vice versa, because I understand technically what's going on. So I wrote to Ivana. I said, listen, Ivana, I'm going to come for your acting study, of course, but I would love to also study some acting filmmaking study. So she asked me how long you want to study. I said, well, maybe like up to 2 years or so. It depends on the funds and stuff. And she says, okay, there are two schools. One is New York State Academy or something like that, which is a bit of like a fast food of filmmaking schools. There's a lot of them around the world. And then she suggested the Los Angeles Film School, which was started in 1999 by sort of a group that kind of finished Matrix. They wanted to develop a film school that is highly technically advanced, at the particular moment in time. They bought a wonderful building across the ArcLight Cinema, across the Dome, and they started filmmaking, gaming, and sound design. So I wrote to them, and they accept me. And in 2009, January, I basically started my education at the LA Film School. and the acting study with Ivana Chubuk, which was incredible. Because
you were planning on staying in Los Angeles for longer, or only for time of studying, and of course studying with your coach, because you know it seems like your life just leads you gently to the place that you wanted to be. You were telling us you had a dream, like most of wonderful creative people in Poland, to be part of Hollywood life. But you were also pursuing something that you knew you are great at, means dancing. Then naturally, and even when I watch you and people will watch you, we now see your personality. Seems like you are calm, and this is a very unusual way to read somebody, because when you see you, when I see you as an actor, I see how tense you are. And then later we'll be talking about you loving boxing, you're loving lots of different things. So, you know, but seems like you are so mellow, so like agreeable with what life is bringing, that you make the decisions that are not so chaotic, they are more like thought through. I think we always think artists are one of those crazy ones. Oh, I want this, I want that, I don't know, which honestly, most of us are this way. But somehow, somewhere, now when I see you on a Zoom and listen to you, to the way how you show us your journey, is something about you that calms me down. And I would say, okay, the people and parents who are watching our and listening to our interview who have somebody very talented, some child, and say, oh my gosh, you will have crazy life. No, doesn't need to be so crazy. The choices can be made. Choices can be changed. They can be thought through. And also, they can be very, very, like, almost dangerous, because we are changing countries after countries. And we are talking somebody coming from Poland. In this time, it wasn't so easy to travel. It wasn't so easy to go abroad and studying. There was in 98, 2000, everything was changing in our beautiful country, too. And you were the one who, you can say you, in a way, escaped a little bit what you didn't like about Polish culture then. But you also are coming from Poland, and Polish filmmakers are one of the best in the world. So I know you watching Hollywood movies, but then you watching also Polish directors. You know you have both of the world. You have the soul, the dark soul, like you say, gray and dark soul, which I see a little bit in your, of course, in your movies. And then this advanced part of you that takes a chances on life, which we'll be talking about, you know, who really influences you in your creativity. If you're a very interesting gentleman, really, really, I'm just enjoying you.
Well,
make me calm. And a lot of guests make me hyper, and I'm hyper. You just make me calm and say, everything will be okay. Everything will be all right. So I cannot wait. What is the next? So
just one question for you. What is your zodiac sign?
I am Sagittarius.
Sagittarius, so you fire element. So goal-oriented.
Oh, very much so. And I love changes. I love changes. I love, and I'm not afraid of changes. And I am the one, when I make decision, I never look back. Because I say to myself, I made a decision, that was the right decision in this moment. You are from what zodiac, when we come to zodiacs, what is your zodiac?
That's why maybe you find me a little bit balanced, because I'm a Taurus, and Taurus is the earth element. So it's kind of this, you know, and I just recently had my birthday, May 11th. So I'm treating this conversation today, this interview, as a birthday gift. So thank you.
Rudy, I hope this will be a great present for you. And I didn't mean this way, but also I may say that my daughter is a Taurus. She was born May 5th. So I naturally really, really have this easy relationship. We have a wonderful relationship as a mother and daughter. And I see this calmness about you. And I also see that you have a direct view of what you want to do. And you are making great choices for yourself. And I love to find out more. So I hope people really enjoy our interview. Janusz, we were talking a little bit about you being Polish. I don't know if you have still contacts in our country. I'm sure you are back and forth, or maybe not. But you as a young man, yes, you were watching Hollywood movies and you were a little bit, like say, taken back by what the years, young years in Poland were for you and our culture and the way how Poland was in 1990s and earlier. So tell me, who was the person who just created you as a director, film producer, right now? Because that's what you really are doing right now. You are acting, but you are really mainly director and producer. So your life brings you back to Poland, I'm sure, because of Seoul, and to the world because of your journey through so many countries already. So tell us, who is your hero when it comes to directing and producing movies?
Well, I mean, I always, in terms of directors, famous directors, I always look at two directors. One of them is Polish, the other one is American.
So cool.
In terms of Polish directors, I have to be honest, when I was young, the intellectual Polish cinema was a little bit too art house for me. I did not understand a lot of films like from Kieślowski, for instance. You know, what I learned in Hollywood also is that during communism, Polish filmmakers, they actually tried to find a way of affecting subconscious of the viewer, but going around the censorship. So basically, if you write a script and there's a lot of dialogue that is not positive towards, I don't know, communistic regime or whatever, the censor could come and just cross the line. So Polish filmmakers, Wajda, Zanussi, Kieślowski, you know, Polański, these guys were trying to find ways, Tarkovsky from Russia, these guys were trying to find ways of communicating with the audience and non, sort of on the peripheral of your consciousness. So you and I, me as a filmmaker, you as a viewer, you understand on the conscious, subconscious level of what I'm aiming at, but you cannot point it for a dialogue or something else. So for me, that kind of filmmaker in Polish filmmaking was Krzysztof Kieślowski. His early movies, but also the movies like Three Colors Blue and, you know, the movie Three Colors Blue when Juliette Binoche is basically trying to deal with the tragedy of losing her child and her husband. And, you know, normally you would say, oh, someone is crying all the time. No, she kind of goes into a very strong and empowered female and almost cold. And that's why blue, you know. So there's so much symbology there. Also, the way he uses color on those kind of things are incredible. And then on top of that, you have filmmakers like Stanley Kubrick. For me, Kubrick is arguably in America, arguably the greatest director of his generation. He had a very meticulous mind. He was very obsessive about particular subjects. He would read about whatever the movie he was making. He would read all available books. He would, you know, now in London you have, I think, the Stanley Kubrick, I think there's a museum or so where you can actually look and check out his scripts and basically his in and outs of his work. So those two filmmakers always had a very huge impact on me. I kind of got into directing and filmmaking because I wanted to act. And I didn't want to wait for some producer or director to come out of cloud and just reach out and grab me, pull me out of, you know. I thought, okay, let me try to do my own things and hopefully maybe this will be noticed somewhere and it might get my foot in the door at one point. And then things changed. The internet arrived, and you know, now pretty much everyone is doing content. Everyone with the newest iPhone with a wonderful camera are creating podcasts and stuff like that. So that part has been desaturated. You know, the actual classes are a little bit desaturating because now, and just a normal person from YouTube with a talent can find a network of people who are potentially interested in their work or in their artistic endeavor. And so that really opened up a lot of doors, but also desaturated. Because in the world of when everyone has talent, who are we choosing as the top dogs?
You're
right. We need to be let in into that conversation. And so there's still levels. And especially now when things are changing with COVID, you know, there is a trend in change in cinemas. I don't know how, as far as I understand, in Los Angeles now, Pacific theaters are closing. The cinema, which I was an avid goer on a weekly basis, a dome, you know, it's like a permanent stature, you know, in Los Angeles, is supposedly being closed. So we are kind of changing the what we grow up with. And a lot of directors, like, for instance, a lot of directors, they actually go and do a contracts with Netflix or with Amazon Prime or with other streaming services for the next 4 years or 5 years when the COVID, you know, subsides, and then they can come back to Hollywood and do something, a bigger productions. A lot of things change. The budgets in TV arose incredibly. I just read a story that now they're preparing the Lord of the Rings TV series on the budget of $465 million.
Wow.
$465 million budget. So it's kind of like a Game of Thrones, but it's a Lord of the Ring big time. So it's very interesting time right now. I feel very...
This time makes you nervous? Or
very,
petrifies you? What will happen? How do you see yourself? Like I say, what I like about you, you are calm and you are educating yourself and you are not sitting still. You are doing your stuff, which will be... I want to go back to talk to you about your films and your projects, but it's very interesting how you perceive what's going on right now in Hollywood, and the same how viewers are changing. Yeah, we are spending more time in front of TV, watching maybe TV that you are talking that now are having budget of so big, much bigger than before, but we are spending time in Netflix, and the choices are so enormous that almost makes us tired, you know, and then we are coming back and, okay, I want to watch Friends again because it's familiar. I just almost don't want to go to research everything what is given to me because it's too much. It's just too much, you know. So it's a very interesting time. And for people who are, you know, you are lucky, you are already in a way known, you are going your own ways to be who you want to be. But a lot of young people, I can't even imagine YouTube just begging people, going, asking for money. It's like impossible because times are changing. Mm-hmm. Like you said, probably 3, 4, 5 years from now, everything will be calmed down and we'll know what's going really on. But it's still 5 years. It's a long time for any human being who wants to be creative and make money off what they do. It's just not easy for anybody. Yeah, what's happened. But to not be sad and saying lots of things optimistic, great things are happening in your life. Some of your movies and projects were done in 2011 and 2014, 2000. So please, can you take us a little bit with 4 or 5 of your projects, how they are doing right now, about awards that you are getting, recognition that you are getting, and the time frames, because some of great of your projects were started 6, 7 years ago, And yes. Now they're like giving the rebirth again. And please tell us about the little present. Is birthday present from you to us? We, as an accent on people who are listening to our show and people who are watching us on Instagram and on Facebook, they will be having a chance to see one of your movie, full movie, like I mentioned, for free for a whole month. And we'll be giving the link to YouTube. And I'm hoping people will do that. I was saying, okay, let's watch. Of course, I need to know a little bit about you more and watch the movie. And I'm like, gosh, you got me watching. And I don't want to say anything about this movie, but it's a scary, it's a beautiful, it's a little criminal story in a way, crime story, but it's very, very well done. You're a great actor. You were making me watch you and feel for you. And it's like, you get me scared. So I don't know. People, please spend an hour and a half, not on the Netflix, just watch the movie that is called 11.
11, yes.
Let's start maybe from this movie, then let's go back to, you know, four or five that you think we need to know about.
In fact, 11 is a feature film. It was 87 minutes long originally, but interesting part of it is that it's actually first movie I ever made. So majority of filmmakers they start with short films, small projects, they work on their craft, et cetera, et cetera. But as an actor, beginning actor, I actually worked a lot with SAE Institute or like Rotterdam Film Academy, different film schools where I was working with students. And on these type of sets, you can observe and like you learn, and sometimes you can contribute as a filmmaker. So I was still an actor back then, but I started to get interested in filmmaking. So I bought a MacBook Pro, I got an editing software, and I started to do stuff. And back in 2007, me and my ex-girlfriend, we went to Greece on holiday, and we were kind of, after 2 weeks, it was really hot, and we were kind of bored at one point, and we thought, let's write a story for a movie. And that's what we did. We basically, on just a normal, a notebook, we wrote what you could call a treatment for what actually developed into 11. And then when we came back to Amsterdam, we would work on that project. And then eventually what we did, we wrote a script. At the time, we thought it will be about an hour-long film or something like that. It was 59 pages. And usually in filmmaking, we say a 1 minute of screen time is about one page. So, feature film will be 90 pages and over, etc. So, but it was 59 pages, but there was a lot of descriptions and stuff like that. So, you know, I put my suit on. I put my, tie on. At the time, I had maybe a couple thousand, not much money, and I'd never done film before. But what I did, I run around Amsterdam. Basically, we needed locations. One of the main sort of locations was a hotel. Mm-hmm. So we had to find a hotel that would host us. So I put my suit, I did my preparation, I did my storyboards, et cetera, et cetera. I run around Amsterdam. I went to 50 different hotels, and two hotels in Amsterdam, they said, yeah, okay, you can shoot here for free. Because I was like, look, I'm an independent producer from Paneel Films Production. We want to shoot this film, but we don't have money for the location. But the film will be taken to Los Angeles where it will be edited, because I already knew I'm going to LA Film School. And so it will be sent to festivals. You will get the hotel chain, will get fame or whatever. And one of the hotel, American Hotel on Leidseplein, which is like the main area in Amsterdam, old 18th century, hotel. We got it for a week and a half to shoot it there. I went to Supper Club, which is like a club here in Amsterdam. I said, listen, I need a club. Again, 2 days, we got it. There was a psychiatric hospital / police center that we needed. Also found different locations. And after prep, we start shooting, we actually didn't know what we are getting ourselves into, because the actual film ended up being 15 days in Amsterdam, shooting days, and then 3 days in Los Angeles. And arguably it was the hardest thing I've done, because I had to act, I had to produce, I had to direct. So there were moments where you kind of focusing, you prepare for a particular scene, and there's a colleague of yours coming in and, hey, craft service just arrived, you know. So it really extended me, pushed me. And there were moments, because, I mean, to do a 10-minute short is difficult, but to make a 90-minute film that carries your attention, it's not an easy thing to do. And usually you sit down when you have a full film already shot. We always say in LA Film School, you make three movies. You make the one you write, you make the one you shoot, and you make the one you edit. And sometimes the one you edit can be a different than this film, the one on the page, you know. That's when you create a film. So it took me 6 years to finish 11. It took me 6 years. Maybe if it wouldn't be, my mom passed away when she was older person, and this film is dedicated to her. And perhaps if it wouldn't be, there were moments where I wanted to give up on it, because it's a lot of work. But in Los Angeles, I found a great composer, a Polish composer by the name of Bartek Gliniak, who is working in Los Angeles at this moment, and a sound designer named David Long. And that was it. Sound design and music is honestly 50% of your film experience. Yeah. And, you know, working with David Long for 5 months in his studio, David Long, you know, worked for Paramount, Disney, you know, all the big, big corporations. And in the back of his house, he has a little garden shack where he has a studio. And he always help students and so on. So for 5 months, he was editing the film with me, the sound design. So I have so much respect for technical aspect of filmmaking. I learned so much from 11. I learned what doesn't work in film, which is when first-time filmmakers or young filmmakers, they think that the exposition that is needed to be given to the audience is done by dialogue. Well, in film, we show, don't tell. You know, when you want to tell a lot, meaning that's theater, you know, in a theater, you have to. But in film, the less dialogue you use and you try to figure out what's going on by the body language and look, you know, physical acting, these type of things are very, very, very important. So, in the end, 11 was like a very, very, very important moment in my life. I burned out by the end. I finished the film. I premiered it in California in Temecula Valley Film and Music Festival, and that was it. I put it away, although it's a feature film, so you potentially can sell it, whatever, da, da, da. I was so done with it that I just put it away. And for a period of time, I haven't made any movies. Then when I went to Hollywood, I did my thesis film called Stigma, which was shot on Super 16 millimeter film. And that was another totally different experience, not shooting digital, but actually shooting film. Then you have a telecine process, taking that celluloid into a digital form. By the way, maybe a question to your listeners, why cinema screen is called silver screen. Mm-hmm. We always hear a silver screen. And a, yeah. Well, the fact is that in the film, in the celluloid of film, you have a microscopical particle of silver. And the fact is the reason why we see when things are recorded on it, we see it because of the silver. So then when it's projected on the big screen, we say it's a silver screen. So, Yeah, it's kind of cool. And so I did Stigma. Stigma was a little bit different. It was a film about a psychic who was a non-believer, but received stigmata, which are the wounds of Christ and so on. And in this film, I also acted and I also produced and directed and I edited as well. It did really well. It went around the world. It was in the Polish Film Festival as well, with Vlada Hiszkiewicz, and other festivals. And then after a while, because I was in Los Angeles and things were going really, really well for me, I actually started a visa process, O-1 visa, to be able to already stay and so on. And at the time I came back to Amsterdam just to kind of pack supposedly and then come back to LA. But John Lennon once said, life, it is what happens when you make other plans. The time when I arrived in Amsterdam back from LA, the infrastructure, financial, we had a crisis basically.
Yeah.
So I was supposed to come back, sell my house and come back with money into LA and start career further. But I came back. The actual market went really, really below. I would basically take a loss. So in essence, I got stuck back in Amsterdam. Yes, it feels like my hometown, but I always felt this vision of me making to Hollywood and all this kind of what we think the success. Yeah. And for a while, I unplugged. And roughly in 2015, 17, British actress who lives here in the Netherlands, Henrietta Bryant, she lives here. And she knew of me. I mean, filmmaking world is a relatively small world. Everybody knows each other in essence. So she asked me to join her group there is a festival by the name of 48 Hour Film Project. Basically, you have 48 hours to make a film. On Friday, you get together. On Saturday, you shoot. On Sunday, you edit. And by Sunday evening, you have to deliver project. It's very stressful, but can be rewarding. And with Resolve, we won festival here, the 48 Hour Film Project, Eindhoven. We won all the major awards, best director, best leading actor, best assembled cast, and I think best producing. So like the main categories. Now, if you win that, you go to Paris. And so in Paris, the people there, they saw our film and they said, listen, guys, we are the sponsor of the Cannes Film Festival, Hewlett Packard, HP. Would you like to participate in something called Masters of Short Film for the Cannes Film Festival? Oh. What? Cannes Film Festival is inviting us to festival. Normally it's the other way around. You are the one that is sending a film and they, 10,000 submissions and maybe like a lottery, you're going to be picked up. They inviting us. So we had in 6 days, we had to deliver a pitch for a film where you have the motto has to be magic of cinema realized by visual effects. So we basically put a team together. We came up with a budget. We decided to shoot it with anamorphic lenses, great cameras, everything, on the highest level. We had a visual effects specialist who works on the big Hollywood productions, a guy who was like in work for X-Men and all the big productions, but in London. And that was that. We had a premiere of our film. We shoot shift here in Amsterdam, 5 shooting days. And in 2018, we had a premiere in Cannes Film Festival. And 5 days that I spent in Cannes Film Festival, was arguably one of the happiest and the most special days of my life, if that makes sense. Because, you know, if you are in love with film and you are in the mecca of film and you, oh, hello, Mr. Travolta, oh, Miss Naomi Campbell, oh, Mr. Spike Lee,
you know,
it's incredible.
Oh, and, Anush, I know, you know, our show is almost coming to the end. We have 2 minutes. So I'm so happy that you just touched this moment of you feeling like you made it, because that's all what we want, the creative people. There are moments in life. Nobody has completely, you know, always rising and staying on the top. It's up and down, but when the up happens, you really have a power and energy to know that the next good things are coming. We know what's happened with COVID. Everybody gets a little bit stuck with their own misery, and or maybe even you created more in this time. You never know. But fact is that life goes on, like you said, and things are happening when we, in a way, don't plan. And for you, you are this really wonderful storyteller. Your life is very beautiful and takes you where you want to be in a pace that is right for you for whatever reason. So today, again, I know that people already missing to probably listen to you, and Accent On, we always wanted you back to talk about the future and what's going on, and give us this beautiful life story and little bit advices, and make us calm that things will be okay. You have a beautiful place. Amsterdam probably is your home. So we feel like we are your friends already. So Janusz Madej, he's an actor. He's director and producer also. We will be hearing so much about you, I know. And the future next things will be probably something that will keep you happy and feeling that you made it, because you already did. So congratulations for everything.
Thank you so much.
For talking to us. And again, from your words, we will be for 1 month able to watch your feature movie. It's called 11 on a link on YouTube. I will provide this link, and people who watch us, they will see this link. And of course, we'll on LA Talk Radio Accent On page, please, everybody can also see this link there.
So I thought to make something special for your listeners. And I mean, you know, it can be a short film or whatnot, but in today's world, it's also nice to support independent filmmaking. And 11 is a poster child for film, for independent filmmaking, made purely independent. So have a look, guys, see what you think. It's a bit intense, a little bit dialogue heavy. But it's the first movie I ever made, and if it can inspire a new and up and coming filmmakers, that you should not wait for an opportunity. You should go out there, make your mark, and look what happened. Now, right now, I'm talking to you through Zoom, and so you never know what will happen in your life.
I cannot wait to meet you in person, because the next step from London will be probably Amsterdam for me and my daughter, Natasha. So she's producing our show, Natasha and Miraya. So thank you for that. And for today, Janusz Madej, our very, very friend-like director, actor, and movie producer. Thank you for today. Accent On.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Natasha. Radio.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Strength. solo tú mi amor verás, te quiero para siempre.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.